The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk with senior travel agents about our favorite Disney World things. That's coming up on this episode 142 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 142. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different because we are going to have a roundtable discussion. I've never had an episode, I don't think, with more than one person. It's usually just me or me and one person, but today it's going to be me and three people, and those three people happen to be senior travel agents. So I'll get into that in just a minute. Before doing that, I want to do my normal reminder to follow on social media because it's the only way that I feel like I can connect to you outside the podcast so that you can talk back to me. And I tend to be the most active on Facebook and Instagram, and you can just look for WDW Prep School on both of those platforms and follow along, especially during my trips, which I will talk about at the end of this episode. I have one coming up. I tend to post a lot on Facebook and Instagram, try to be helpful, provide information, and you can follow along. So please be sure to follow me there if you're not already. I also did want to mention that after the first-timer interviews are posted, I often get a lot of emails from people asking if they can be first-timer interviewees. And I want to clarify something because I get these emails every day. The only way to be a podcast guest is to leave me a message on the SpeakPipe line, and the show notes for every episode have the information about how to do that. You can use your phone to do it with the SpeakPipe app, or you can use the computer. And the reason for that is that I used to accept submissions just by email. And then I realized that when I hit record, a lot of times people would be afraid to speak, or they couldn't speak loudly enough or clearly enough, or you know, something like that. So by leaving me a message on the speak pipeline, I can hear you and make sure that you will come across well on the podcast. Plus, you can give me information about your trip. So if you want to be considered as a guest, please leave basic information about your trip, like when you're going, where you're staying, who's going on the trip. And then if I think it'll be a good fit for a future episode, I will contact you, because when you leave the voicemail, it automatically has your email address attached. So I will email you to let you know. So look in the show notes for that information, and we'll be in touch if it is a good fit. Okay, so today we have three senior travel agents, and they happen to be the most senior agents, I believe, at Key to the World Travel, who I am partnered with. And when I first started the site, I didn't have any travel agent partner because when you're starting, nobody wants to work with you anyway. But I wanted to be very careful as I grew and found a good partner. And so what happened was about 4.5 years ago, I started the site. And then about 4 years ago, I partnered with Cheryl Corin. And she was an agent who would handle all the quotes that came in. And it was such a small site at the time that that was manageable. She could do it. And then everything grew. And so she and I have grown together. And now she's a co-owner of Key to the World Travel. And they have set up a team that handles all the quote requests that are submitted from my site. And they are handpicked team. I know almost all of them. And the three that are on today's podcast are three that I definitely know. And they are very, very good at their jobs. So I wanted to just mix things up a little bit on the podcast and hear from somebody other than me. And so I think you might enjoy today's conversation. So without any further ado, I want to jump into that. And then I'll be back at the end with a quick tip of the day and some information about my upcoming trip. So here are the agents from Key to the World Travel and discussion that we recently had. Welcome to the podcast, all of you guys.
Hi.
Hi. Hey.
So I have with me three people that are going to help discuss some topics, favorite things at Disney World, that kind of stuff. And they happen to all have one thing in common, which is that they are on the management team at Key of the World Travel. So hello, directors. Aren't you officially directors at Key of the World?
Yes.
I think so.
I think the website Jen is director.
Yeah. Jen and I are directors, but Chad is an executive director.
Okay.
Ooh, if you want to get technical.
Oh. I didn't realize there's so many layers to the job titles, but anyway, yes. So you're three of the people that would handle quote requests that come from my readers or podcast listeners or whatever. And also we happen to be directors. So you have a little Correct. More responsibility than some of the others might. And so I just thought it would be fun for us to chat about Disney World things, because normally it's just me giving my opinions and whatever, but I'm not the only one. And I've learned a lot from you guys. And so I thought it'd be fun to have just different thoughts about things at Disney World. So let's start with a quick introduction. Say your name and just tell a quick little thing about yourself so people can get to know you like I do. Chad, let's start with you.
My name's Chad LaPointe. I've been with Key of the World Travel now for about 4 years. I've known Jeff and Heather for a very long time. I live in New Milford, Connecticut. And I really love helping families plan their ultimate vacations.
And you have another job as well, right?
Yeah, I do. I work in construction during the day. I work for a glass company, so I install heavy glass shower doors and commercial storefronts.
So you're a busy guy.
Yes, very busy. Very busy.
And I think you and I have a thing in common where we happen to have big kids.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. we became parents kind of young.
Yes, we did. I'm going to be 40 in March, and I have a 22-year-old son, an 18-year-old daughter, and a 14-year-old daughter.
Yes.
And three dogs. So
good.
Yes. So I between the family and Key to the World Travel and my other job, I definitely stay very busy. And I wouldn't change it for the world. Absolutely love it.
Good. Well, the people that you work for and your clients also adore you, because I hear from them all the time.
Excellent.
Okay. The other two people are both named Jen. So let's start with Jen Filling.
Hello. My name is Jen Filling, and I have been with Key to the World for a little over 2 years now. And I have a love for Disney, of all things Disney. I've been going to Disney World for several years now. And everybody always seemed to ask me to help plan their trips, so I thought, why not do this job? And I absolutely love it. I recently moved to Florida last year. My daughter decided to go to college in Florida, so I moved with her. And I love being only an hour and 15 minutes from Disney World. It makes it a great feature.
You're also a super duper DVC owner.
Correct.
Do you have like 1,000 points, or what is your DVC level at this point?
I have 6 contracts. I have 625 points total. I own at 3 resorts.
Oh, that's the most I think I've ever heard of for one person. That's amazing.
Well, one person with one child too is kind of a lot. It's addictive. Kind of, you know, people say tattoos are addictive. Well, DVC is addictive. So
yes.
I could vouch for that.
But I mean, I also stay in other resorts besides the DVC resorts as well.
Yes. As a TA, you have perks that go along with that as well, I assume, to stay in the regular rooms.
And well, even prior to being a travel agent, with DVC, it's if you come in late, it's hard to get a good room location. So a lot of times, in order to save points or to get that perfect location, we would come in the night before and we would stay at a non-DVC resort. So that's how I sort of got around to all the different resorts.
And you are the person that taught me about the Polynesian rooms, speaking of DVC and non-DVC. And it's something I talk about a lot now since you pointed it out, where the studio rooms are actually often a better deal than the regular Polynesian rooms based on like cost and space and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Correct.
And you're the one that taught me that, because other resorts don't have that. Like the DVC rooms aren't necessarily bigger or better. They, but at Polynesian they are. So
yes.
I learned that from you.
Yeah.
All right. And then we have Jen Van Hill, or JVH, as I sometimes call her. Hi, Jen.
Yes. Hi. Hi, Shannon. Thanks for having us. Jen Van Hill. I've been with Key to the World Travel almost since the beginning, about 3.5 years. I actually went to Disney World with a large family trip, and Heather Strait, who is one of the owners, was my travel agent. So I got back and I said, how do I do this? And I met with her at a coffee shop, and I've been doing it ever since, and I absolutely love it. I have two little girls. I'm kind of in the minority. I've got little kids. They're 7 and 8, first and second grade. So it's fun to travel a lot with them now, especially to Disney, to enjoy everything at that age before they get too old. I think they'll still enjoy it when they're older, but I'm really thankful to be in this now when they're this age to really enjoy it with them. And I live in Michigan, right by Lake Michigan.
Yes, also known as where Kristen Bell vacationed last summer, so that you
yes, could... and where that's what you're going to say about me. That's the one thing you're going to say about me. Yes, and I may have fiber stalked her a bit when she was here.
Yes, you may have, and yes.
I own it. It's okay.
I totally was in support of that effort because I was fascinated by that too. And on you and I are going to be roommates.
Great.
You and I are going to be roommates at the end of May. On we're going to be yes. there when Pandora opens, and we're going to stay in a Fort Wilderness cabin. Yes. So that'll be fun.
Yes.
And I'm sure
very excited.
Yes. That is going to be so much fun. Okay. So I couldn't have a conversation with travel agents without starting with the inevitable free dining. So I know we recently went to KeyCon together last October and gave out gifts on the ship, and mine was related to free dining because I knew you all would appreciate it. But it's kind of a big source of like discussion and excitement and stress and all that kind of stuff. So I wondered if you guys just had thoughts about free dining and how that works with your clients.
Well, first of all, Jen Filling. First of all, it's not really per se free. Everybody always thinks that you're going to get the full price of the dining package. And in reality, you don't. The cost of the room and everything else goes up in order to offset the cost of the dining. Yes, you get a discount, but you don't get that full price of what the dining plan would cost as free, if that makes sense. Yes. So it's a lot of people always think that, oh, it's free. But if you add it all up, it really, a large majority of the time, it's not the full amount is not what's free. I've seen tons of clients where I've modified their reservations, and you would think the amount that they would get back would be equal to the cost of the dining plan, and it's not. So it's just a way for them to try to get business when it's usually non-peak times. And they'll just offset the cost in another area. But the word free makes everybody think, oh, it's free, I have to go at that particular time.
Right.
But sometimes there's an offer at another time of the year that's a better offer with a better rate and an even least crowded time, because now it seems like the free dining time has increased the crowds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with Jen Filling 100%. I mean, I used to love going in the fall. In October, but ever since Disney has become known for the free dining in the fall months have just been impacted by that free dining. Everybody booking early, hoping that they're going to be able to take advantage of that promotion. And last year, a lot of people were extremely disappointed when they found out they were only saving $400-$500 off mm-hmm. their promotion when they were thinking they were going to save almost $1,100. So it was definitely a huge setback for a lot of people who thought that they were going to get a bigger savings than they actually did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would also say too, and this is what I tell my clients from the beginning when they start asking the free dining questions, like Jen said, it's not always what it seems to be, to just, understand what your budget is, and we will do our best to stay within that budget. And if there's a promotion, be it free dining or anything, that's a bonus. Don't go into a specific date or a resort or anything thinking, well, I'm going to get this later. It'll work out later. That's just not a good way to kind of go into it, because it's not always the best value to take that promotion. So,
and I think for this year, October was excluded, So, everybody booked in October thinking they were going to get it, and they excluded most of October.
And if you notice too, over the last couple of years, it's getting less and less availability. Mm-hmm. You're seeing less and less. And like, to go back on what Jen Van Hel just said, when it comes to a client, you have to just, like she said, reiterate, there's never a guarantee you're going to get that discount. Don't count on it. If you can't afford the trip at this price. Let's look at different options for you. And if we do get a promotion, then maybe we can, you know, upgrade your hotel with that savings, or, you know, upgrade your park options. Make sure you're comfortable at that price before, when you go to book, and not knowing that you're not going to be guaranteed an actual promotion for a huge savings. Start off what you can afford, and then we can always upgrade when the promotions come out, if we can get that promotion that you're looking for.
And I always suggest to people that are dead set on free dining too, to not book flights if they're going to be flying in, because then you can be more flexible. You know, if the dates are announced and your dates aren't covered, then maybe you switch it to a little bit earlier or later to fit it into that time frame, and you're not locked in because of flights.
Right.
Yeah. And also, and getting, Disney's making it less attractive because they're requiring upgrades. Like, they've been doing the park hopper tickets. And if you're not already planning on park hopper tickets, then that's probably not a great deal for you, or it may not be.
And if you want particular dining locations, it's tough to get a dining location during free dining. For instance, I went New Year's Eve, the week of New Year's Eve, and I was able to get anything I wanted that entire week, which you would think would be a peak time. But then I had a hard time getting the same restaurants for clients that were going during free dining, because everybody, because they have the free dining, they're going to take advantage of it. So all the dining locations fill up super quick.
Right. Yeah. So in conclusion, you kind of have to do the math, figure out what works for you. But to Chad's point as well, be prepared to pay the full amount, and then anything else would be a surprise, a nice surprise.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And we're happy to do the math. That's part of our job too, is we always punch the numbers to see what the best value is for what's going on.
Right. Good point. All right, let's move on to something more fun than free dining. Okay, so I know that when you're working with clients that you're obviously going to customize your advice based on who they are, when they're going, what their budget is, et cetera. But overall, if you had to give a general piece of advice, if someone said, I can go anytime, what would you suggest? What time of year or what period of time would you suggest to clients that has been like the best results for you?
I think go ahead. Do you want to go ahead, Jen?
No, go ahead, Jen. You can go.
No, you, Jen. It's funny that you had this question. I just met with a client today. I booked her trip for this September, and all of the questions that I was thinking about for the podcast was answered in this conversation. Everything I recommended to her, she ended up doing. I recommended September, and more towards the end of September, hoping that it wouldn't be as hot as, say, August or early September. But you're still having a lot of those kids starting out in school, not heading down on vacation normally during that time period. And I think that's going to, I think in general that works out pretty well. Cause like we said before, and like Chad said, especially October with those fall breaks, much busier than they used to be.
I'm going to say, January is my favorite time. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the low crowds, cool weather. The parks close a little earlier, which means the fireworks are earlier. So if you have little ones, it's easier because for bedtimes and stuff. And again, the crowds, you can, it's just unbelievable the amount of low crowds there are. As long as you stay away from the holiday weekends like Martin Luther King, you're good for January. Anytime you hit, right after you hit New Year's, anytime the rest of that month is just like perfect. It's empty. And like I said, it's cool weather. You're not battling rain. You're not battling sweat, the heat. And again, you know, staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning to make sure that you get everything in the day.
Yeah. And all four of us just happen to have had trips this year in January. And it's hard to come away from January not loving the weather if you've been at other times of year and sweated the entire trip. It's a huge luxury to, you know, have to put on a sweater. I love that. What about you, Chad?
You know, this is a tough one for me. I mean, I love the fall because I love the Halloween, you know, the whole decorating in the Halloween, and I love the food and wine festival. So to me, a lot of it depends on my client. I mean, if it's a set of adults, then I would definitely recommend the end of September before the mad rush. Like, you know, like Jen Van Hill said, schools are back in session. The parks don't seem as busy. You're still available to get the things. It's kind of still cooling off. It's not as hot. And you can still do the food and wine festival, because that to me is just one of the great things to do, to be able to walk around with your significant other and be able to enjoy different, you know, alcoholic beverages, different types of food. If I'm going with a family, I'm going to go with Jen Filling, end of January, beginning of February. It's cooler. It's not as hot. the kids tend to handle the weather a little bit better. The one thing that kind of, you know, brings you down a little bit walking through the parks on a hot day is when kids are screaming because they're overheated, they're exhausted. You don't see that at January, February. The temperatures are a little cooler. It's easier walking. Park's nowhere near as busy, and you're able to get the ADRs that you're looking for without any issues whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. I like all your suggestions. I'm going to throw first week of March in as a suggestion, and that happens to be when my next trip is. For the second year in a row, I'm going the first week of March, and it's because for me, it's still the nice weather usually. Like, it hasn't heated up a lot, and also flower and garden starts then. So I kind of like it right before spring break crowds show up, but you still got the pretty flowers at Epcot and the flower and garden kiosks and stuff like that. So yeah, lots of good possibilities. What about resorts? If you could pick a resort that is sort of the most pleasing to your clients, what would your one suggestion be?
Mine for that one, and again, going back to the client that I met with today, was the same situation. You know, I have my eye for clients, especially with little kids like I do. That's just the stage of life I'm in. And Art of Animation in the suites is always such a popular one for that situation. To have the space, the two full bathrooms, to have the kitchenette, you know, to the microwave and the dishes. Everything just fits in a lot of situations. I really like that resort for that reason, but I like to put my clients, if they don't have a preference as far as theming, I like to put them in the car suites because it's, for the most part, right next to the main building, but it's not a preferred price like the Nemo suites are. Mm-hmm. So I like to put them right there without them having to pay that preferred price. They're still very close to everywhere that they need to be. And the theming is just great for families with young kids.
Yeah, maybe the best in all of Disney World.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, Jen or Chad?
I'm going to say the Polynesian, hands down. Mm-hmm. The Polynesian just appeals to a lot of my clients. Number one, for families, you're on the monorail system. Number two, you can see the fireworks right from the beach. It's close proximity. If you need to run over to Ticket and Transportation Center to hop on the monorail to go to Epcot, the rooms are just slightly a little larger. If you're in the regular part of the hotel, you know, you have the two queen beds with the day bed. But then also if you're over in the villas, you have, you know, the split bath. The rooms are just a little slightly larger. It's just the whole atmosphere over there is what I really, that appeals to me and to my clients. It seems like everybody likes that Polynesian type feel.
Mm-hmm. Also a great place to stay. What about you, Chad?
You know, a lot of my clients, I do a lot of bookings at Port Orleans Riverside. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like the fact, they like the fact that you can sleep five people. So it really does appeal to the families of five, which I do a lot of bookings for. I try doing the Art of Animation. I've stayed there millions of times. I love that place. I've stayed there with my family, with the adult kids. The two bathrooms are fantastic. But a lot of my clients are just like, you know, it's a room. We're just sleeping. I don't need all that mm-hmm. extra space. So I tend to go lean towards Port Orleans Riverside. There's a lot of dude right at the resort. If you wanted to spend the day at the resort between the pools, it has five quiet pools as well, along with other, you know, great activities for the children to do. So I kind of like Port Orleans Riverside is my favorite resort that I book for my clients.
And I think if I was, I don't work with clients one-on-one like you do, but if I was asked which one resort I think would be the most pleasing, I might say the Contemporary, just because being able to walk to the Magic Kingdom is such a luxury, and the monorail going through mm-hmm. the building is magical. Even though I knew it went through the building, still staying there and seeing it every day, it never got old. And plus the dining there is so great. There's a lot of good options. Yes. And so I think that would be my pick if I had to name one. Mm-hmm. There's no wrong answer to that. So lots of good choices at Disney World. What about a dining reservation that your clients tend to really like? A table service reservation. Jump in, whoever wants to.
I think, this was a hard question for me just because knowing you, are you wondering what my choice is as far as experience or like value? You know what I mean? Because the mine for me experience is Cinderella's Royal Table, because having two girls and you just can't beat walking up, entering in, meeting Cinderella, walking up those stairs and eating in the castle itself, overlooking Magic Kingdom. That to me is the most magical thing. It mm-hmm. really is. Now, is that a good value for your money or dining credit? Probably not, but it's one of those things that I just feel like you have to do, especially if you have girls. But even if you don't, I think it's just a wonderful experience. And that's always going to be a popular ADR to get, I think.
Yeah, always. Always has been, probably always will be. Mm-hmm.
Mine, I sort of have three.
Okay. it's hard to narrow it down to one, I realize.
Well, yeah. If I have a family, they normally 1900 Park Fair is hands down like number one to get. If I have more of the tween age group or just adults, Ohana for dinner, hands down. Everybody loves Ohana. And for me personally, if it's my family, we do Trails End because I love Chef TJ. But I have a food allergy, so that's why I prefer that location. So it just depends on the family situation that I have. For Magic Kingdom, a lot of my clients don't want to spend the two dining credits for Cinderella's Royal Table. So they'll go for the 1900 Park Fair. And the Evil Stepsisters, they absolutely adore. So that's mainly why I would pick that location if my clients are on the fence between paying two dining credits versus one.
And if listeners aren't familiar, 1900 Park Fair is in the Grand Floridian, Ohana is in the Polynesian, and Trails End is at Fort Wilderness. So Those are all delicious places to eat. Chad, what is your pick or picks?
There's just so many. It's hard. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I love the Whispering Canyon over at the Wilderness Lodge. Mm-hmm. I love the interaction. I love how they, play along. It's a lot of fun. It's extremely comical. You have a great time, and they really do cater to families. Just don't bring a feeling because they might hurt your feeling, unfortunately. Because, sometimes you don't really know, are they kidding? Are they not kidding? You got to play along and have a great time. Ohana's, hand down. I love Ohana's. And Splitsville in Disney Springs. My family loves Splitsville. It's got to the point ever since it's opened. Every time I go with my family, that's a place on our list we have to eat because they've got one of the best burgers I have ever had. If you're a burger person, highly recommend going to Splitsville. And the cheese fries are fantastic.
And I don't think most people would realize that because that's in the bowling alley in Disney Springs. And on your guys, on the last trip that you guys took with the senior agents, did you go there together?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
That was our team building activity.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It was a lot of fun.
I heard you guys are great bowlers.
Oh, boy. That's debatable.
I found out that when you're in your 40s, you should not bowl because the next day you feel it.
Oh, God, yes.
Was it the bowling that you felt or something else? Yeah.
I didn't have too many Florida coolers, but that bowling hurt the next day.
And I think for dining reservations, I would throw in Garden Grill, which no one's going to be surprised about because it's my favorite character meal. And then I would also throw in California Grill. I apparently have a thing for places with grill in the name. But California Grill is more like older kids or adults, and you can have drinks and watch fireworks. And to me, and the view up there is amazing. So I think that's a good option for a lot of people. All right. Now we have some new things. We talked about how we're going to be there for the opening of Pandora. The three girls on this call are, hopefully Chad will be able to join as well. But there's lots of new things that are coming to Disney World. What are you guys looking forward to the most?
Well, I'm going to say the new items at Hollywood Studios. I'm looking for a huge change at Hollywood Studios. I know it's years away, but the one thing about Disney, which is what I absolutely love, is there's always something new. There's always a change. Before I moved to Florida, I used to visit Disney World 4 to 6 times a year. And every time I went, we did something new. And I love that about Disney. I'm looking for a change at Hollywood. Hollywood right now has so much closed due to the building of the two new lands that they're going to have there. And I'm just looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to experiencing all of that. I am looking forward to Pandora, which is why I'm going there that weekend. But I'm really looking for a change at Hollywood right now.
Mm-hmm. I had the same thing as Jen did. And I know Star Wars Land will be amazing. It's not my It's not my thing. I watch the movies and I know it'll be amazing because it's Disney, but I'm really looking forward to Toy Story Land, mostly because we've heard really nothing more about it. And we know when everything else, you know, the time frame. So I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen there. But in the short term, I'm really looking forward to the new fireworks. I don't know how you feel about that, Shannon, because I know how much you love Wishes, but I'm really looking forward to a new and improved fireworks show in Magic Kingdom.
Well, no, I look forward to nighttime entertainment because Disneyland's anniversary nighttime entertainment was so amazing that I have all the confidence in Disney to pull off something great. Wishes had been around for like 14 or 15 years. So I'm thinking something new might be even better. So what about you, Chad?
Yeah. Hollywood Studios has always been my favorite park. I mean, I absolutely love it. So I was kind of bummed out when they started closing the Backlot Tour, Lights, Boner, Action. So I'm going to have to say the same thing with Jen. I'm looking forward to see what they're going to do with Star Wars Land, Toy Story Land. I'm really excited to see how it's going to really revamp that entire park, which has desperately needed a revamping for a long time. And I'm actually excited about Pandora. Animal Kingdom is another great park. It's just it doesn't get the credit that it deserves. And I'm hoping that Pandora will help open up the doors for Animal Kingdom and get more and more clients to actually want to go there. I have hundreds of clients, I can't tell you, that'll just say, well, we don't want to do Animal Kingdom. We want to skip over. It's just a giant glorified zoo. It's not a giant glorified zoo. There's so much to do and see there that I'm hoping that, you know, with the Pandora opening and the River of Light will actually bring more and more clients in to actually experience what Animal Kingdom really does have to offer.
Totally agree. Underrated park. And hopefully this will bring some more attention to it. So more people will visit. And I think, Jen Van Hill, to your point, you were talking about Toy Story Land. I think one of the most exciting things about that was when they announced it, they said it's going to be as immersive as Cars Land at California Adventure at Disneyland. And I thought, that's huge.
You can't top that. I don't think that you could top Cars Land, in my opinion, you know, if we're only talking about Disney. So, I mean, that's why... That's a little sidebar, but so you know it's going to be amazing. I'm really looking forward to that because there is not enough Pixar representation, in my opinion, in Disney World, especially when you have Cars Land.
Yeah, so, and the kids, you know, under, I don't know, young kids now, they know mostly Pixar. They don't know some of the older Disney stuff, so I think it's nice to incorporate Pixar as well. I'm going to throw out a weird one. I don't normally talk about rumors, but there was a rumor recently that I can't get over, and it is that there's going to be gondola transportation at Disney World.
Yeah.
You know, like the skyways that go, I think it was Epcot and then some of the Epcot area resorts and that kind of stuff. It was based on permits were filed by Disney that said that they might build gondolas, and I want that to happen so badly.
That would be so fun.
Yeah, so I'm throwing that as the thing I'm looking forward to if it ever happens. Fingers crossed, but we'll see. And then this summer is D23, which happens every 2 years. Disney has a conference in Anaheim, and they make big announcements. So who knows what they'll say in this July, but hopefully we'll learn some new tidbits and have even more things to look forward to. Okay. I know all of you work with a lot of your fellow travel agents, and you have to train people, hire people, you know, different things. And so I wondered, as far as qualities of a good travel agent, what would you think makes a good successful travel agent? Whenever I'm talking to travel agents, people inevitably will say, how do I apply? How do I work there? What do I need to do? And so I just want you guys to be able to say, you know, if people were to apply, what would you be looking for?
You know, in all honesty, we're really looking for people who love the product, who are very knowledgeable of the product. You know, it's not an easy job. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, I can do that. I can go in and it's very easy. And it's not as easy as everybody tends to think it can be. I mean, we put a lot of hours into planning clients' vacations, right down from finding the right resorts that's going to fit the client's wants and needs to making their ADRs and their FastPass selections for them as well. Knowledge of the theme parks, knowledge of the actual product, and availability is huge. Being available for your clients when they need you is very, very important. I've had clients call me in the middle of the night because something happened. And being able to have that availability for them is huge in their eyes, especially when they're coming to you for your help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to agree with Chad on a lot of that. And when we, you know, because all three of us interview new applicants that try to, you know, that apply for a job at Key to the World. And a lot of people think that if they're touring, if they have great touring tips, you know, for the parks, that that makes them a great travel agent. But it's not just the touring. It's can we find a resort that's going to fit that family? So it starts at the resort level. It starts at what time of year do you want to go? Where do you want to stay? And not a lot of our, questionnaires that we get from, you know, your site, it'll just say, I need help choosing. So we need to have that knowledge of the different resorts. We need to know what resort Sleep Five. We need to know if they want to be close to Disney Springs. You know, they want a short bus ride to Magic Kingdom. We need to know all of that in order to recommend a resort for them, because it's their vacation. I mean, that's what we need, that every travel agent needs to remember. It's their vacation. It's not ours. We're not planning our trip. We're planning their trip. So, and to go back on Chad, availability is huge. I get that all the time from my clients is, you know, thanks for the quick response. And one lady, I literally answered her while I was watching Rogue One in the movies, and she emailed me back. I can't believe you just responded to me while you're watching the movie. But it was an important message that she needed a response on. So availability, I think, is huge.
JVH?
You know, everything that they said, I'm just sitting here nodding. I don't really know if I have anything more to add. I think the biggest point that came to my mind, which is what Chad said, is it's Disney. We love Disney and other destinations, and it's fun, but it's work. It is a job. It is not always fun. So I think just understanding that, having good organizational skills, you know, being ready to market yourself on social media, being prepared to build your own business, which can take time. It doesn't all flood in all at once either. It's very, very important to know.
Yeah. And I think like our jobs overlap in a lot of areas. It is a lot of work, and we do have fun trips, and there's a lot to keep up with. But I think the thing that I have noticed the most after being around you all is that you are so on demand with your clients. You know, when I'm on a trip, I don't have to worry about that because I don't have clients I work with one-on-one. And I'm always amazed at how much you guys have to be available. It's a huge commitment.
Prime example, when we were on our retreat, we were all waiting to get on Big Thunder Mountain, and one of our other senior agents literally was on the phone booking a cruise while we're all standing there in the fast pass line, like standing there waiting. But, you know, she booked a cruise, and that's, you know, that's what we do. I mean, that's, you know, unfortunately, we might not ride Big Thunder Mountain, but that's okay.
Yeah,
we'll get on it next time.
Yeah, exactly. You've been on it a time or two. And every trip I pretty much meet up with at least an agent or maybe more. And I've even gone with people to like the front desks of hotels to go resolve issues for clients. Like, okay, let's head to Magic Kingdom, but first we need to stop by the Grand Floridian so I can handle this issue for my client. Like there's a lot involved when you're trying to provide good service. Okay, so every episode, I always end with a quick tip of the day, but I wondered if you guys could offer your own quick tips for people. And that way, I feel like I run out all the time, so I'm sure you guys have more stuff that I haven't thought of. So let's start with Jen Van Hill.
I was thinking of just my favorite quick tip, so okay. This might be a bit redundant, but it was one that I had shared with you a while back, and I think that you shared it on your podcast, I don't know, but when the iPhone had a couple updates ago, you could change your battery to the low power mode. And I was testing that in the parks, and I messaged you. I don't know if I did it in the parks or afterwards, and I said, you know, I don't even need my backup charger. I just turn it to low battery mode. And for me, especially if I'm not with my family taking, you know, 300 pictures, I haven't had any problems with having to lug around an extra charger. So that, I think it's only for iPhones, unfortunately, but that's just my number one tip that I tell people.
Yeah. And I think I have shared that on the podcast, and it was because of you. So you were allowed to repeat it because you were the reason.
Sorry. Sorry. It wasn't a new one.
No, it's okay. I learned a lot from you guys. Chad, what about you?
You know, these are kind of silly, but you know, the only tips I could really drink plenty of water. I mean, I know you get the resort refillable mugs. From my own personal experience with my wife, she got dehydrated very easily. That Florida sun may not feel hot at times, but it will dehydrate you. So drink plenty of water and bring plenty of sunscreen, because even if you're on a cloudy day, if you have fair skin, you're going to get burnt and it can ruin your trip real fast.
Mm-hmm. All too true. And Jen Finley, what about you?
Well, just to piggyback off Chad's real quick, if you do need water in the parks, you can get a cup of free ice water if you don't have bottled water. So that's a tip that Chad knows, and he probably didn't want to say, but he could say. my biggest tip, though, is in the security lines, when you go through the security lines and, you know, they tell you have all your bags open, everything ready, I actually put the stuff I have inside of my bag. I don't have it just loose in the bottom. I actually have it in a clear zippered compartment, like a zippered bag itself. It's a Vera Bradley one, but it's just a clear bag. So I stick all my items in there. And when the security people go through my bag, they pull that out and they can see it. They can see what's in it because it's clear. And then they just shove it right back in. If not, if you have a wallet or if you have a camera case or anything like that, they open all of that. They have to open each container. So to me, security just goes so much faster if all of your items inside of your backpack are in a clear bag as well.
Mm-hmm. That is
great
a really,
tip.
That is a really good
tip.
Yeah,
very good. Excellent.
So you guys are so smart. I love it. Well, thank you for joining me today. I love having other opinions other than hearing my own voice all the time. So I appreciate it. And hopefully we can do it again in the near future.
Thank you.
Great.
For having
you, Shannon.
Yes. Thank you, Shannon, for everything you do for us. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So I hope you enjoyed that little chat and maybe learned a thing or two in the process and getting some different voices and different opinions involved in that conversation. If you would like to have your trip handled by a member of the WW Prep team, you can submit your quote request at the link that is going to be in the show notes, or the top of the site says quote request, and you can always submit it there. That form is automatically submitted to the agency and a member of the team will pick it up and take it from there. So feel free to fill that out. I did want to give you a quick tip of the day, and this one came from a reader named Natalie, because I have been getting lots of them by email and I want to pass them on. Natalie says, I thought I would pass along a quick tip from our New Year's Eve trip to Disney. The first aid stations throughout Disney World are fabulous. We made multiple trips to first aid for complimentary Band-Aids, Tylenol, and even sinus medicine. There was never a wait, and the staff were very friendly and professional. In addition, our youngest son has some sensory issues specifically related to noise. We didn't anticipate just how loud some rides, including roller coasters, would be for him. And luckily, the fine folks at Disney First Aid were able to provide us with earplugs for him to use. It made a world of difference and allowed us to participate in rides as a whole family. They really go above and beyond to anticipate guest needs. So I appreciate Natalie sending that in. If you happen to have a quick tip that you would like to be on the podcast, feel free to email me, Shannon@wdwprepschool.com, because I always appreciate that. And you all often have perspectives on things like the first aid stations that I do not. So we're just about ready to wrap up this episode, but I did want to tell you that the next podcast will be from Disney World. You seem to really like the daily updates last time. Feels like I was just there. And I'm already going back. And so I'm going to do the daily updates again, where I record every night and I just upload them raw. And then when I get back, I'll stitch them all together into a podcast episode so that you can hear it. This trip, which will be March 3rd through the 7th, it will include a few things. I always have a to-do list for every trip as I plan. I have like a checklist. And this time I can't wait to check out Rivers of Light at Animal Kingdom. I want to see Wishes one last time because it's going away in May. And there is a private DVC party at Magic Kingdom that I get to attend because I will be with DVC owner friends, including Jen Filling, who was just on the podcast today. Flower and Garden Festival will be beginning in early March, and so we'll be there for that. And then there's a few things that I'd like to try out on Disney Springs, including Paddlefish and Planet Hollywood. So I'm hoping to fit all that stuff in, and you can hear it through the daily updates, which will be the next thing after this episode. So I think that will wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can always check the show notes in your podcasting app or go to the website, find the podcast tab, and look for episode 142. Until next time, I will see you on the site.